Amen. Brother Sam's coming to preach to us out of the plan for your life, out of the Word of God. I'm excited to hear God's Word. I appreciate this man. I appreciate so much what he has done sacrificially for the youth in this church. Yeah, amen. Because let me tell you what's tough. Dealing with youth is tough. Those little kids, you can bribe them. Big kids, you can't. You say, man, I'll buy my own candy bar. Well, fine, then I'll knock you out. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, it's a challenge. It is a challenge. And I know that he and his wife put a lot of time into these guys, but he's not coming to preach to youth. He's coming to give us the Word of God. And I appreciate his time and effort and all that he does. If you appreciate Brother Sam, would you give the Lord a hand clap as he comes? Amen.
Thank you. Amen. It is so good to see everybody today. All of our visitors, like he said, we're so glad to see you. All of our faces, just our brothers and sisters here. I'm glad to see everybody. Amen. What a privilege it is to come into the house of the Lord. It is an honor and a privilege to serve with all you guys. It's an honor and a privilege to stand here, Pastor. I appreciate the opportunity. We're going to read in just a second, and then we're going to pray. But I need help. When you guys pray that my back will hold out for me. As it is, it has been giving me a fit here lately. No, it's not your fault. It was before that. Amen. Amen. Starting out in the book of John, how many believe that one word from him, things change on his authority? Amen. That's all it takes. It's not what's spoken, but it's who speaks it. Right? We need a word from God. John chapter 7. Starting out in verse number 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard these things, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not Scripture said that the Christ cometh from the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers and the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? Verse number 46, the officers answered, never a man spake like this man. Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you because it's still alive. Lord, and that it changes us. Father, I pray that your Spirit would come into this house and set on every believer. Lord, and set on every unbeliever. Father, I pray that we all leave this place differently than we came by your name. In the name of Jesus, you may be seated. Amen. The life of Jesus was marked by an uncommon message. Preached throughout the regions, his peculiar teachings paired with his abnormal authority was enough to bring in even the most skilled thinkers. He was followed at times by multitudes, witnessing exceptional circumstances. They watched as the blind received their sight and as lepers were healed. That they marveled that everyday ordinary men were given the power to heal and the power to speak the mysteries of the Word of God. At one point, they even came back and said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us. Social norms and religious customs were uprooted and true authority was brought into question. Jesus was different. Everything about his life was different. Everything about the way that he spoke was different. The topics that he chose to speak on was different. The way that he reacted in certain situations and circumstances was just altogether different than what anybody had ever witnessed before. And because of that, people would come to him, so much so that a woman having an issue of blood for 12 years at the end of her rope would push through a crowd just to touch the hem of his garment. He was so different, so much so that a demoniac at a great distance would witness that there's something different about this man, and he would run and fall at his feet and worship him. Lives were changed. Things that people once had to accept, there was a different man in town now. And the Bible would say that the message that he went about preaching was preaching the kingdom of God. And not that it was soon to come, but that the kingdom of God was here now at this moment and you can be part of it. And that really the all authority in heaven and earth really comes from the kingdom. There may be kingdoms set up on earth, but real authority we know comes from the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus went about all the regions preaching that the kingdom was here. He was Emmanuel and is Emmanuel, God with us. However, beyond that, he was still a man. But he was a man filled with the power of God. He was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. And he showed us as an example what can be accomplished in a man in which dwells the Spirit of God. John 14 and 10, Jesus was plain. He told his disciples, he said, "The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he's the one that does the works. All this miraculous stuff that you're seeing me do, the authority that you're seeing me walk in, it is the Father that dwells in me." Well, what he was saying is all these miraculous things that you've witnessed, the reason the multitudes follow me and the reason I choose to preach on peculiar teachings, and the reason I choose not to look at people through the same set of eyes that you see them through is because I'm marching to the beat of a different drum. It's the Spirit that dwells in me. But the good news is that the Bible teaches us that that same Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies. You ought to be different. There ought to be something totally uncommon about you. That there ought to be something so peculiar. You're called to be a peculiar people, set apart for the glory of God. Not that we can come in these doors and shut them and brag about how good we've got it and talk about how lost the world is. No, no. He has chose you and he's chosen me to be a vessel of his anointing to show forth the power of the God that we serve. That there's a kingdom down here on this earth and you may be subject to that, but more than anything, there is a kingdom of heaven and that kingdom has come and you can be part of it. We live and we operate and we fight by a totally different set of rules. But Matthew 16 and 24, Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." We need to be examples of Jesus Christ. We have got to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. In our family, in our home, in our community, in the church, no matter where we go on a daily basis, it is imperative. And we are commanded to be His hands and to be His feet. But can I tell you that more than anything, they don't need just another man to walk the streets and talk about this man Jesus. They don't need to hear another sermon. But more than anything, they need to encounter a man or a woman filled with the Holy Ghost of God, walking in a power and walking in an anointing that isn't worried about the social norms and qualms of the day that we live in, but is more worried about being able to take spiritual authority in any situation you find yourself in. No matter good, no matter bad, that you can and you do take spiritual authority in that situation, but you only do it through the cross. There's not but one saving message, and it's the message of the cross. And if I'm going to follow after Him, and if I want an anointing in my life, then it's up to me to take up that cross and to feel the weight of it and to march out every single day of my life and throw back my door of my home, going out into the world feeling the weight of a burden. We sing that burdens are lifted away, and they are. We want an easy street gospel, but that is not the message of the cross. The message of the cross is if you live by a different set of rules, then you're going to face ridicule. The laws of the kingdom is that you are called to live in the world, but to never be part of the world. So you're going to have to wrestle daily. He said, that which is flesh, and that which is spirit. So every day we wake up, we've got a battle to fight. Because if I'm faced with a situation, if someone asks me for advice, if someone asks me to pray over something in their life, then I had better be different. They may have encountered a million other Christians in their daily walk. They may have encountered another 100,000 people that claim to be the church of the Most High God, that claim to walk in power and authority. But if you've got the goods, there had better be something different about my life. We're called to be uncommon. If I were to title this sermon, that's what I would title it, uncommon. We're not supposed to be like everybody else. We're not supposed to just worry about blending in like everybody else. Jesus went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and He taught His disciples how to pray. And when He did, He told them that when you pray, go into your closet and shut the door. And He said, say this, thy kingdom come. And this word, come, in the Greek is erakomi. And this word is always used in present or in perfect tense, showing completion and continuation. You see, I'm not one to harp on any type of Bible, but if you have an NIV, it says, pray thy kingdom come soon. That's not what it says. And that is not what that word means. The word thy kingdom come, in going back into the original, what it means is pray like this, your kingdom is here. So when we pray, we need to pray in such a manner that we understand that we don't have to ask for His kingdom to come down, but we have to walk in power and walk in authority, knowing of a surety that the kingdom of God is presently here and that it's going to continue until He decides to take His church out of here. You're called to walk in power and you're called to walk in authority. Can you say amen? There is also a different word in the Greek, and if it were used, this would mean pray that your kingdom will soon come. But that's not the word that we have. The writer chose carefully the word to let us know that we do not have to pray for His kingdom to come in our city and in our family and in our life. But we have to pray from a place of authority. The songs, one of the songs used to say that we fight from a place of victory. Well, see, it's time for the church to rise up and take a stand and to walk in victory and to walk in spiritual authority and to walk in that dominion that He came to give you. Thy kingdom come. We operate by a whole different set of laws, founded in a complete different universe than the one that we find ourselves in. We move to a different beat, and we hold a completely different worldview. Completely different worldview. This should change our perspective and the way that we see circumstances surrounding us. As I was prepping the last few days for this sermon, I did not look at the news. I would forget about it and click on it, and then the instant I would see it, I would remember and click back off of it, because we live in a world that loves bad news. And if you're not careful, you learn to march to the beat of that drum. And while the things that they're reporting on may very well be true, but you know what? That's the reason they're reporting on that is because the enemy loves to spread fear. And he wants us to react how the world would react. But if we hold a different worldview, then we should have a completely different perspective on the way we view our world. You see, you could look at the news and see that everything's going on, and it seems like there's two topics that are the headline of every news outlet. Seems like there's about two topics that they want to stick on, and I don't care to hear anything about either one of them. But in the kingdom, I'm chose and I'm moved up to a higher place so that my perspective might change. Me and my brother, and I think it was David, drove into North Carolina, Durham. Was it Durham? Where'd we fly out of? Charlotte. Yeah, Greensboro, that's what it was. We drove into Greensboro, Ohio, and caught a plane going to a conference one time, and it felt like it took us forever. Like, I remember seeing this giant building over on the right-hand side of the interstate, and when we passed that, it seemed like it just took us forever to get to the airport. Like, there was a lot of ins and outs and rights and lefts and ups and downs, but then we boarded the plane, and the plane took off. And as soon as we got up over the trees, I could look over and see that building that I had seen before. And I realized that wasn't that far at all. It really wasn't that far. You see, in your walk, if your perspective doesn't change, you don't have a sense of where you're at. And it's real easy to get lost, and it's real easy to lose your sense of victory in your life. If you're looking at everything through an earthly perspective and you see everything from a worldview of everything down here on the ground. But we're called to live in a higher place. And when you reach that higher place, you can look at those in your life. And David, I can look at you and I say, Dave, you're really not that far from where you want to be. I promise you need an answer. And I can look and say, Dave, the answer's not far away. Because I'm not looking at this thing from a worldly perspective and a worldly view, but He calls us to a higher place. And we can call things that we see as we see it, but the world doesn't necessarily see it that way. As a matter of fact, He gives us the power to call things that are not as if though they already are. That's the law of the kingdom. The law of the kingdom, see, universal laws say that Peter should have never been able to step out of the boat. But because the kingdom of God was there, the laws of the universe began to manipulate because the will of God was for him to step out onto the water. And you may have family squabbles going on right now. Step out of the boat. I know in your worldly self and this earthly perspective, you think, I've got to give it some time. I don't know if this situation's ever going to heal. No. No, you operate by a completely different set of rules, and that set of rules says that you can call things that are not as if they already are. Go ahead and speak it that they're coming back. Go ahead and speak it, that the man that I'm witnessing to, the person that I'm working on, they're going to be saved because the Word is going to overcome. Amen. The message of the kingdom goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, when God created man and gave him dominion and power to subdue the earth. At the fall, Satan stole that earthly dominion and he reigned. But Jesus came and took back that authority and gave it to his people. And the gospel message is that we are called to be kings and priests in this world. The same power and authority that he walked in, and the same power and authority that he gave, that's the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel isn't solely salvation. It's not. I'm thankful for the blood and I'm thankful for salvation, but it goes beyond that. He called us to walk in authority, and we don't have to accept social norms as our set of rules. And we don't have to accept the status quos of our days as the norms in our families and in our lives. This church has shattered like every percentage and statistic out there. You know why? Because we operate by a different set of rules. There's men in pulpits today preaching the cessationist gospel, which means that it's only for salvation and the power of God has gone away. But no wonder people are leaving your church. Good luck finding a perfect individual out there that does not need the authority and power of God in their life. But the reason this church has shattered every statistic is because we preach to you that you cannot make it unless you have the Spirit of God. You can't do it on your own. You can't live good enough. You can't live holy enough. You cannot memorize enough word to do it in and of yourself. But you've got to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. And that is part of the gospel. Never a man spake like this man. And we're supposed to be like him. Our problem is we want to speak just like everybody else speaks. We want to act just like everybody else acts. We want to partake just like everybody else partakes. And we want to blend in to be socially accepted. But we were never called to blend in or to be socially accepted. Matter of fact, the otherwise, we are called to be a city on a hill. And we're called to be a light in a dark place. And you can talk about how dark the darkness is. I really don't care because I know how bright the light is. It doesn't matter. Darkness can only get so dark. But light comes in such a fashion that it can literally melt you if it gets too bright. So I'm not worried. Darkness can't get any darker. Oh, but the light can come forth. Darkness can't overcome any more than it's already overcome. Oh, but light can come forth. Oh, but light can overcome. There's a story of a mountain climber. I can't remember his name, and there was a mountain he wanted to climb, and he tried it and he failed, and he tried it and failed and tried it and failed. And they interviewed him, and he said, I know I'm going to climb this mountain. And they said, how do you know that? And he said, because that mountain has got as tall as it's ever going to get, but I'm still getting better. I'm still growing, and I'm still getting stronger, and I'm getting more courage, but that mountain's not going to be any bigger tomorrow than it was today. Can I tell you that Satan has no more power now than he did in the days of Jesus and in the days of the apostle, when they could look at men and women and cast out devils, when they could look at men and women and begin to call things that were not as if they already were? Darkness can't get any darker. Oh, but I'm praying that the light comes forth. I'm praying that some men and women of God catch on holy fire. I'm praying that some families, not just men and women, but I'm praying that some families would catch on fire and show this world how it's really done. Amen. Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Jude wrote one chapter, And he said, beloved, who is he speaking? He's talking to the beloved. And he said, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, I was going to write to you about some common things. He said, but it was needful. Even in that day, 2,000 years ago, the brother would look and he would say, I was going to write to you about some common things, but however, it was needful at this time to write for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. We need men and women to exit these doors today full of faith. Earnestly, earnestly contending, fighting and clawing and scrapping with everything that you've got in you. Earnestly contending for the same type of faith that the apostles walked in. And the same type of faith that our elders walked in. Not just a I'm saved, high five, let's go home. No, I'm talking about a faith that is world shaking, that is city saving, that is soul winning. That type of faith is what he is looking for. And that type of faith is what's going to overcome in our day. The people that we encounter on a daily basis do not need another self-help motivational speech. They do not even need a friend to sit down and listen to all their problems. What they really need now more than ever is a man or a woman full of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God to look further and deeper within them and speak directly to the heart of the matter. That's what sinners need. Sinners don't need a comforting person to come and tell all their qualms and woes to. No, but they need someone walking in spiritual authority that says you've got hell going on in your family, take it to God. That can look at someone and say, your marriage is on the brink and you're about to lose everything, but I know one thing that works 100% of the time. You see, a family that walks in power and authority together is never broken. And I'll go to my grave speaking that. And if something ever happens inside of my family, I felt it wasn't him. It wasn't the Spirit. If I take him at his word and I walk in power and authority and I live the type of life that he called me to live and I be the type of father and the type of husband that he called me to be, my family will be A-okay. I can promise you that. And I can promise you the same thing. Earnestly contend for it. They need somebody to look at them in boldness and say, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. When we walk in authority, you know, it's common. It's common these days for Satan to come in and wreak havoc on families. And it's not even that uncommon for him to come in and wreak havoc in churches. It's not. But there hath nothing befallen any of us except that which is common to man. Can I tell you that you're not called to be a common man? And you're not called to be a common woman. You're not called to be a common father. You're not called to be a common mother. You're not called to be a common preacher. You're not called to be a common saint. But he takes a common person. And inside of that common person, he does a completely extraordinary work. And he turns you around and he fills you with the power of the Holy Ghost. That's not common. It's not common for someone to receive advice straight from the throne of God. That's not common at all. It's not common for your girlfriends to call you on the phone and want to gossip, but you speak to them what thus saith the Spirit. That's not very common. It's not common for me to be the type of dad that, Dave, we've had some conversations here lately, haven't we? They've not been common, right? Some pretty uncommon things, because I refuse. I simply refuse, Kevin. I refuse to be a common man. I refuse to raise a common son. And I refuse to have a common family. If he's called me to walk in power and authority, then I'm going to walk in power and authority. You can leave it alone and you can go on your merry way if you must. But I promise you one thing. I want to be found in the big middle of his will, anointed for his purpose. You know, when we walk in authority, we signify the ascension of our Lord. He looked out at his disciples and he said, it is expedient for you that I go away. So I would argue that a cessationist gospel does not signify the going away of our Lord, because he said, when I go away, greater things than this you're going to do. So it's not only the message of salvation that we ought to be preaching to our co-workers and preaching to this world and preaching to our family, but it is the saving message of Jesus Christ, that he will pick you up and he will turn you around and he'll take you out of the miry clay and he'll put you on a rock. And he'll establish your goings. And everybody these days, they're anxious about everything, but you know what else it says? It says he'll put a song of praise on your lips. I once was lost. I was bound. I was anxious for everything. I was depressed. I was suicidal. I was ready to give up. But thank God, when he come in, he didn't leave me the way that he found me. He didn't just clean me up, but he fixed me from the inside to the outside, and he saved me to the uttermost. Now I can dance in victory, knowing that the same one who saved my soul gives me power and authority to call things that are not as if though they really were. Praise God. In the book of Revelation, Jesus tells the church of Pergamos, I know where you dwell, where Satan's seat is. You know, Satan isn't omnipresent like God is. He dwells in certain places. And there are demonic spirits that are territorial over the area that they live in. It's not the same spirit that you fight. It may be a same spirit in a city. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that some cities have different spirits. And that spirit is prevalent in that place. But Jesus told him, he said, I know where you dwell. The place where Satan's seat is at. The old dragon is seeking whom he may devour. And it's very common for him to devour. It's very common to see his destruction. But I believe with everything inside of me that there is an army rising up. I believe that soldiers are manning their battle stations. I believe that some things are getting ready to be upended. You see, he said, I know where you dwell, where Satan's seat is. God knows the day in which we live. He knows the area that we live in very well. And he sees all of that. But he gave the church at Pergamos the tools necessary to defeat that. And the tools necessary to serve in that place victorious. Not just by the skin of their teeth, but victorious. Too many Christians these days act like we walk in victory by the skin of our teeth. I don't walk in victory, Brother Darren, by the skin of my teeth. No, it's abundant. No, he really does give you more than you'll ever need. My cup overfloweth. He's looking for whom he may devour, but there's got to be somebody. There has to be somebody at some point in time who says, you may not devour. Move on. Pick you a different home. Pick you a different family. Pick you a different individual. Pick you a different church, Satan. Because I know you're seeking who you may devour. But you see, I walk in that authority that when he ascended, he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost. When he ascended, he told him to go to Jerusalem and tarry until you're endued with power from on high. He didn't send them out preaching yet, because he knew that the Holy Ghost had not yet come upon them and baptized them. He blew on them and they received the Holy Ghost, but they had not yet been baptized in the power of God yet. So when he ascended, he said, not yet. Don't go yet. Don't go to those cities yet, but go to Jerusalem. Gather together and there tarry until you receive something. Because I'm sending the Comforter to you. He said, I won't leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. So those men and women gathered in the upper room, and as they tarried, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it says it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. Those men and women were filled with the power of God to do the work that he had called them to do. See, we've got to have some people that raise up and rise up and say, Satan, you may not devour. Musicians, you can come on. In Luke chapter 10, verse 17, if he's got it up there, Luke chapter 10, verse 17, Jesus sends out his disciples two by two. They go out and they preach the gospel of the kingdom. And they heal the sick, they heal the lame, and they come to him, and it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. You ready for this? In verse number 18, and he said unto them, I saw Satan as lightning fall from the heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I want to back up here for a minute because I think we missed something. Because we know that Jesus was from the beginning and he saw Satan fall when he was cast out of heaven. However, in Luke chapter 10, I think we take a scripture out of context. Because in 17, pay close attention. Verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. And his response to this, the response of our Lord, as these men come back and say, we went out and we preached the gospel and we healed the sick and we watched his lives were turned around. Jesus looked at him and he said, and while you've done that, I beheld Satan fall from heaven as lightning. You see that? Oh, you ain't shouting yet. You ought to be shouting. That word heaven's not talking about where God's seat is. That word heaven is talking about the skies and his seat in the heavenly places and the places that he rules. You see, when the disciples come back and said, we went out and we preached the kingdom and men and women were healed, Jesus looked at them and he said, while you were doing that, as you were out in this world healing and as you were out in this world preaching the gospel of the kingdom, Satan was dethroned. Satan's seat, you see, the good stuff hadn't even come yet. We're not even direct. Resurrection day yet, but there was men that went out in a lost world and they began to preach the gospel of the kingdom of our God. And Jesus said, oh, and when you preached it, when you begin to preach that, you know what I seen? I seen Satan fall down from heaven. I seen his place of authority fall to the earth. We need to dethrone him. He may have been able to have his seat in Pergamos, but he's not going to have his seat here. He may have very well been able to establish his court and his kingdom in Pergamos, but I refuse. You are not going to set up your kingdom where the kingdom of God should be. You're not going to set up your court of law where the court of our Lord should be and is already called to be and already is. I'm not going to give up my victory. But the time is now for some uncommon men and women to walk in dominion and in authority and refuse to settle for the status quos of our day. Refuse to have a common family. Refuse to live a common life. Refuse to have a common marriage. He said, out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Where's the river at? We ought to hear it in this place. If out of all the believers seated today, if there was a river coming out of your belly, then we ought to hear that river coming forth today. Would you stand with us? In Revelation 12 and 11, John the Revelator says that he sees a group of people. And he says, these are they that overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They have not loved their lives unto death. The word here that they overcome by the word, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, that word is Logos. And John 1 and 1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Why do we need one word from Him? Why, when one word spoken from Him, that things change on His authority? Because they overcome not by what was said, but they overcome the wicked one with who was speaking it. You see, you got some people in your life right now. You've got some folks in your life right now that desperately need to hear a word from God. But will you speak it to them? Have you give up that place of authority and that place of power? I'm not talking about salvation today. If you need salvation, come and give it to Him. That's easy. He said, I will in no ways cast you out, but come unto me. But I'm talking to some men and women today that refuse to lump your family in with every other family. I think it's somewhere between a 70 and 80% chance, Pastor, that when our teenagers get out of our teen class, that they leave the church. Nope, I refuse that. That's not us. There's like a 55 or 60% chance that new marriages inside the church fail. You had better be taking yourself out of that statistic. And the only way to do that, the only way to remove your family out of those types of statistics and say that my children will not walk away from God, my marriage will not fail, we're going to live for it. The only way possible for that to happen is if you live by a different set of rules and you walk in the power and the authority. I know this isn't common preaching that you hear. I'm talking about walking in authority today and walking in power. So I want to invite some people to pray. I need some anointed men of God full of faith to be ready to pray for some people. If there's some men and women in here that say, you know what, that's me, and I want to win my family, and I want to win my coworkers, and I want to be so uncommon like Jesus was, that everything about me is so different and I can speak into the lives of hurting people, then I want you to come up here today and let's pray. And I know we do this a lot, but prayer changes things. Be uncommon, church. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be a witness for me. That's what it's about. They've witnessed enough of the status quo. That they've witnessed enough of the so-so Christianity. Oh no, but they need something full of power. That has more power than the ruler that's set up in their life right now. That's what they need. So would you pray with us?